Attention Northwest Arkansas businesses and talent seekers. Introducing Onboard NWA.com, your hyperlocal job board crafted for our unique community. Struggling to find the perfect match for your job openings? Onboard NWA simplifies the hiring process, connecting you with the region's top talent through tailored talent matching solutions. Whether you're an employer seeking expertise or a professional looking for your next opportunity, Onboard NWA is here for you. Discover more at onboardnwa.com and let's build the future of Northwest Arkansas together.
Hello, Northwest Arkansas. Randy here, bringing you a quick word from our sponsor, Signature Bank of Arkansas. Since 2005, Signature Bank has been all about empowering our community with local ownership and top-notch banking services. Signature Bank's roots run deep with assets over $1 billion, and they're right here in your backyard with branches in Bentonville, Rogers, Springdale, Fayetteville, and now including Harrison and Jonesboro. With a growing family of more than 200 teammates, they're ready to serve you with the warmth only a true community bank can offer. And they've got Banco C, the first bilingual bank in Arkansas, to ensure that banking is for everyone. So give Signature Bank a call at 479-684-3700 or visit signature.bank online. Mention you heard about them on the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast for that personal touch. Signature Bank of Arkansas, big on assets, local at heart, and a proud member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Here's our host, Randy Wilburn.
Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn. I'm excited to be with you today. I've got a great episode for you. This one has been, I won't say years and years in the making, but it's been a while. And I'm sitting in front of Chef Michael Robert Shaw, who is the chef of Pizzeria Ruby. If you are familiar with Pizzeria Ruby, you know they basically can't get into this place. They thankfully have an app that allows you to put your name on the list beforehand. But the bottom line is that from the minute that he opened this restaurant, it has just been gangbusters. And it reminds me of a little slice of the East Coast, specifically with a little bit of a Boston Brahmin influence in the pizza. But Chef Michael Robert Shaw, it is great to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much.
I'm glad to be here, Randy. It's good to see you, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And a shout out to Meredith for putting this together, for making that happen. Meredith is Chef Robert Shaw's wife, and just, you probably have seen her when you walked into the restaurant.
My special lady friend.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, we all have, behind every great man is, a lot of times, there's a great woman there.
Yeah,
so,
yes. A great woman keeping us in line.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, but listen, I wanted to just kind of have you share with our audience a little bit about your origin story, right? And you can go back, I mean, for, you know, just kind of orient people that how you got here to Northwest Arkansas, and just talk about specifically about your New England influence.
Oh, so much New England influence. Well, I grew up in the Northeast. Family kind of split between Portland, Maine and Boston. My kind of a very big Greek Italian family, Greek on the father's side, Italian on the mother's side. And the Greek side of the family was all based out of Boston. So we would spend half of our year in Boston, half of the year in Portland, and just, you know, just kind of split on the coast my entire upbringing, you know, but we grew up in a very food oriented family being Roman Catholic on one side and Greek Orthodox on the other, we always had two Easters growing up. So it was, you know, roasted leg of lamb on Greek Orthodox, and it was, you know, lasagna and braised meats on Catholic Easter. So, you know, grew up just eating a ton of food. Very, very food-based family. My great-grandfather on the Greek side actually owned and operated one of the first bakeries in Boston. And I think retired somewhere in the 40s or 50s. Okay. An immigrant from Greece, from Thessalonica. And ended up having about 85 delivery vehicles and supplied all the naval yards and stuff with their breads at World War II. So cooking was always in the family. It's just a great place to grow up. You know, there's so much culture, and, you know, it was a far cry from chicken fingers. I still hate olives to this day, but they're on the dinner table every night.
You know? Right. Well, yeah. And it's so funny because, like, people don't, I think if you've never been to Boston and you haven't experienced it, it's kind of like, you remember the Prince commercial?
Oh, yeah.
Anthony, you know, and that is a little boy. And I'll put a link to it because it's on the YouTube still, but it's a little boy, basically. And that commercial, I think, was shot in 68. And he's running through the alleyways of the East End. Uh-huh. And so, I mean, of Boston. And it just, it kind of epitomizes, you know, the culinary traditions that you find in New England, specifically in Boston.
So. Yeah, it's just such a special place. There's so much culture and diversity there, just in the generations. You know, not necessarily the culture, the generations of people. I mean, you go to the North End and it's still 85, 90-year-old Italians just sitting on their stoop speaking Italian, drinking espresso. And it's like, you know, some of the greatest oyster houses are right around the corner. And you're a short walk to you know, Causeway Street and in the garden. And it's just amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it certainly isn't. Well, I wish I could do a commercial for Boston. But the point of what I want people to understand here in Northwest Arkansas is that there is an origination point for the influence of Pizzeria Ruby.
Yes.
And, like, you know, you and I were talking about Armando's, which I think at one point in time was even labeled one of the top 100 pizza restaurants in the country.
It's
based in Cambridge, Mass. And there are several. I mean, Santarpio's. You go down the list of just the best Pizzeria Regina.
Yeah.
The list of great pizza places.
It goes on and on.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. So those were your influences.
Yeah.
What, when you decided to, you know, what brought you here to Northwest Arkansas?
Oh, my special lady friend. My wife grew up in the area about an hour away from here in Southeast Kansas. I was actually living in Seattle at the time, and she had found a job down here. Her brothers moved down here, and her nephew and niece all moved down here. She wanted to be closer to them, and she was kind of in between jobs and found a good one in this area. And she's like, I'm going to go to Arkansas. Do you want to come? And I was like, absolutely not. I don't even know where that place is.
Right.
But then she wrote me in, you know, a couple of years went by. We did a long distance thing. And, you know, I was always kind of like frequently sporadically looking for jobs down here and just seeing what's available, and actually responded to a Craigslist ad for a farm to table restaurant. I was like, hey, there might be a job down there. And ended up, you know, speaking with a gentleman who offered me to come down and do a tasting. And I had no idea who I was coming to meet. And it turned out I was here to meet Tom and Stu Walton.
Wow.
Ended up being one of the first chefs for Rope Swing Group and opened a bunch of their restaurants in Bentonville. Press Room specifically was the first one that I designed and implemented for Rope Swing. So.
Wow. Okay.
It was a little weird. Yeah.
I did not know that arc of your story.
No.
So interesting. Isn't it funny though? And you know, that story doesn't surprise me. I've heard iterations of that from other people that have had an experience like that, where people think, oh, well, these people have so much money. They have other people that handle that stuff.
Sure.
And it's like, no, they're actually in the midst of it, you know, actually making things happen.
They really did, you know, and I had a good time with them. They offered me the job, and, you know, I got to spend time with them, and, you know, we traveled together and ate food and, you know, really tried to do something special. I think what they're trying to do is really admirable. You know, it's their hometown, trying to make good, you know, I wouldn't say upgrade, but just bring some more options to the area. You know what I mean? I think what they're doing in Bentonville is amazing. I think, you know, we're finally starting to see the population density around here.
Yep.
I think it's really, maybe places can start staying open past 8 o'clock, you know.
it's my hope.
But no, it's really admirable what they're doing, for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would call it, some of it is culinary diversification, right? If you think about it, right? Because you can't eat fried chicken all the time.
No.
I mean, you can't, and it's not a knock on,
I mean, not that I don't want to eat fried chicken.
No,
my doctor doesn't want me to eat fried chicken
all
the time.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and every now and then a vegetable or a fruit does bode well.
Sure.
So it is good. So tell me, through your time at Rope Swing, at what point in time did you say, I want to open up a place for myself?
So it was actually a tragic point in my life. My mom passed away back in 2017. And she was in hospice for a couple of weeks. And, you know, I was a mama's boy, a little Italian boy, you know, didn't really know my real father. So it was always mom and food and kitchen.
Yep.
So just at that moment in life, I just kind of realized that, you know, I really wanted to, I mean, her and I had always talked about doing like a diner or an Italian restaurant together. You know what I
sure.
mean? So for me, it was kind of like watching her pass was just like, all right, it's time. You know, we need to do this for me and see if we can do it. And, you know, I just love the food, man. I just, you know, my mom was one of those people that you took your hat off at the dinner table. You didn't put your elbows on the table and you didn't eat until everybody sat kind of thing. So right. you know, it was always just about taking a moment and just opening your room to strangers. My mother was the kind of guy, like she was the kind of woman who would tell me to kick my friends out of the house, but before they could leave, she wanted to make sure they were fed.
Fed, right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like they can't stay here, but yeah. wait, Michael, have they eaten? Little did I realize it was more about Catholic guilt and saving face than anything.
Sure.
But that was the kind of house I grew up in. You know what I mean? So it was at that point where I was like, you know, talking to Meredith about it, I just wanted something a little more out of it, something a little more spiritual. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think food is just one of those things that you can touch people's lives with everything you do every day. You know what I mean? I just was missing that connection with the guests and the community. It was something that I really, really wanted to do.
Yeah. So and given your experience with Rope Swing, how did you land upon Johnson to open up this place?
That's a fair question. You know, we had a couple businesses before COVID. So I left Rope Swing in 2017 and my wife and I opened a food truck called Persephone on Wheels.
Okay.
I mean, we did Mediterranean. We were doing euros and falafels and it was good. You know, I had a great following. It just wasn't super sustainable. Food trucks in Arkansas are tough. They're hot. And then we opened another food truck because we're gluttons for punishment and I'm not the brightest of individuals. So we decided to do a second food truck called 3 Cents an Acre, which was our Creole concept, which I'm familiar with. Just the French influence, being classically trained, really enjoy that type of cuisine. I thought it really resonated with the area here.
Yeah.
We also opened Moonbrock in Rogers at the same time. And I was running their kitchen for my friend Kyle Reedy. Oh, let's see, was there a little over a year and a half, something like that probably. And then COVID, like we shut it down for the winter season in 2019. So it was getting cold, you know, January. And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And then we couldn't open. March happened. We were like, do we reopen? We didn't know what was happening. There was a, you know, mandatory shutdown. It was just like, well, hell, we're sitting on all this inventory and these assets. Like, what do we do? You know, but we took care of our people and took some PPP money and, you know, paid everybody out, tried to do what we could.
That was a tough time for a lot of restaurants.
Brutal.
Yeah.
It was brutal. I watched, you know, friends everywhere just get decimated by it. It was just, you know, I actually helped a friend of mine here, as did my wife, Rafael and the Rios family at Yayo's.
Yeah.
Rafa's a dear friend of mine. I just like, we jumped in to try to help them keep going. You know, we were kind of on hiatus at that point.
Yeah.
So we just jumped in and helped them do some curbside stuff. And Meredith really helped with their marketing. I just tried to help keep them going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just such a special family. It's so great here. So.
It was the pivot to stay alive. And I want to personally thank you for helping Chef Rafael.
Absolutely.
Because I did not know that backstory about that because he and I have talked a lot. I'm working on getting him on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, there are some, I have actually, it's funny because, and of course you look at me, you can tell I like to eat, but I have made no shortage of friends that are chefs.
Yeah.
So I also think about, and I go back to some of the conversations I had with Matt Cooper.
Yeah.
With Jeremy Gothrop. And I remember talking specifically to Jeremy. I called him the day that I heard that everything was being shut down. I'm like, man, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
How can I help you? And it was a scary time. For a lot of restaurants, it was a scary time.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the uncertainty. You know what I mean? It was just like not knowing what the hell we're going to do. It's like, I mean, how do you reopen a food truck when you got to stay 6 feet away from each other?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's impossible.
I mean, it's just, you're going to spread it. I mean, just nobody knew how to control it. So it was like, you know, we were actually negotiating. We started conversations about a lease here in Johnson in January of 2020.
Right.
And then this all went down. We're like, we're going to put this on the back burner for now.
Yeah.
And I think we picked the conversation back up around June, and then we actually signed the lease in July of 2020, which was scary and crazy. And then, we ended up selling the trucks. So we got out of the food truck business, and we just wanted to focus on doing, for me, the biggest sell point was not expecting what we have, but it was, okay, if there is a government shutdown, we can still sell pizza.
Yeah.
Like, I can still do what I trained my entire life to do. And I'm not going to change careers at this point. So how do we pivot, right? So we just focused on Pizzeria Ruby. We decided to start. We started construction in October of 2020. And then Meredith and I left for about a 2 month cross-country journey in September. So we were actually gone when they started construction on this place. It's probably till the right after Halloween we got back, but we went to the Northeast. She had never been up there for fall. So we went up to Western Mass, went to Vermont, through New Hampshire, into Maine.
We camped
the entire time
and
just ate pizza. So we called it peeping pizza.
That's
we were
nice.
Leaf peeping and eating pizza. So we spent, a week in New Haven, Connecticut. We spent a week in Boston. We spent, a week and a half in New York. We spent a couple weeks in Maine. We just went everywhere. We were eating pizza off the hood of my truck at Lucali and Carroll Gardens in New York.
Right.
what I mean? We hit Mama's too on Broadway numerous times.
Okay.
Up and down Arthur Avenue, trying to go to the fish market. We were just doing anything we could get into, Just to kind of resurge that love of this food. And then I got back end of October and I started making pizza in my house every single day. I turned our kitchen at home into a commercial bakery. Meredith was thrilled. And that was it, man. And we just started playing and just eating pizza.
Man.
Yeah.
And then you physically moved into this spot.
So I would say we opened in July, end of July in 2021.
Right. That's right.
So I would say April, May, we really started getting in here and putting touches on equipment and kind of moving everything in. Let me back up just a touch and say that during COVID, I would also spend a fair majority of the time driving around the Midwest as far as St. Louis, Kansas City, procuring items for this restaurant. Finding used ovens. We're on a budget.
Right.
Used ovens, the bowling alley that we have in the restaurant everywhere. I had to pick up half of it in St. Louis and half in Kansas City. And we're talking 9-foot sections of 50-year-old maple bowling alley slabs. They weren't light.
I can imagine.
So we just kind of went around, renting U-Hauls and picking up equipment everywhere and just kind of stockpiling stuff. So it was like a really cool, let's say it was about a year and a half process, kind of putting everything together.
Well, you think of it, though, it's almost like the timing couldn't have been more perfect to be able to kind of do that, right? Because it's almost as if for a lot of people, when I talk to them about the pandemic, for some people, it was like time stood still.
It did.
For a period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's 2024 right now, but sometimes I feel like that was literally just yesterday.
It feels like it.
And now we're 4 years later.
Yeah.
And so you were afforded a time. And I think there's obviously a reason for that to be able to bring all of this together.
Yeah.
And to, I would say, to the amalgam of everything that makes Pizzeria Ruby what it is.
Yeah.
We
were fortunate. I mean, as scary as it was and not knowing and putting everything you got on the line for it, I didn't know, we were trepidatious at the beginning on how we were going to do it. I love Arkansas. I love where we are. I love our home. I love this area. I think it affords us to be able to do, things that we never would have been able to do living in Boston or Seattle.
Sure.
But there's still so much room for growth in the food world. I didn't know if they'd get it. I'm like, we're just going to do 18-inch pizzas. And Meredith's like, are you out of your mind? we have to do something smaller. And, I tried for one day.
Right.
For one day when we first opened, we had 12-inch pizzas on the menu. And at the end of the day, I was like, nope, that shit's coming off right now. It was just an absolute pain in the ass. Excuse my language. But I was like, we're just going to stick with the 18-inch pizzas. And it worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it's my stubbornness and my inability to, sacrifice quality, but I don't know what it is. It's a beautiful amalgamation of things that work,
Well, I mean, and I feel like, and I've actually been afforded the luxury of experiencing your culinary expertise, both as just a normal patron coming in, but I've also been to a couple of private parties here, which I have to say, anybody listening to this, if you get invited to a private party that's at Pizzeria Ruby and you don't go, let me know. I will take your spot because the law group had an event here and that was fabulous.
Yeah.
All three of my boys love pizza. I mean, it's like a second food for them.
Yeah.
It's what they eat, but I only brought one with me. And he was so glad he came. He was like, oh, this is amazing. Between the pizza and the gelato and the pasta.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, talk about how you have kind of manipulated this menu in such a way where you not only feel like you're coming to a pizza place, but you're really coming to a restaurant.
It's really been kind of organic the way it's come together. You know what I mean? I think it's part of it is through selfish ways. It's kind of what I want and what I envision. But, for me, it's been a transitional period to just kind of listen and see what works. I mean, when we decided to open this, I told Meredith, you know, if we do open a restaurant, I want to unapologetically be us.
Yeah.
Like, I won't apologize for not doing it. I don't want to be that arrogant ass who, like, no, you can't have salt and pepper. Take all the salt and pepper you want. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want my recipes? Take them. I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me. You know what I mean? All I wanted was just to be something for everyone. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of our approach to this, is to have different avenues on what you can be. You can be the pizza place. You come in with your kids. You get a half cheese, half roni. Everybody leaves happy. You know what I mean? There's gelato, but there's also handmade pastas, and there's thoughtful seasonal, you know, small plates. And there's, we try to do specials, and, you know, we just try to make it special for everybody and just really create an atmosphere, just a warming, comfortable, welcoming atmosphere. You know what I mean? That's kind of where we want to be.
And the also thing I like is that you have several offerings that provide like family style eating.
Yes.
So like you can all just sit down at a table. And I mean, these, you know, these beautiful red checkerboard patterned tablecloths really remind you of being at somebody's home where it's like, hey, we're all just, you know, just pass the bowl of pasta or pass the bowl of Caesar salad. Yeah. So,
and, you know, we try to do some more family style stuff. You know, for me, like that, the epitome of Italian or a pizza shop is that communal dining. You know what I mean? And it's just still, people don't really go for it or don't really understand it yet. You know what I mean? Putting strangers next to strangers at a table. I mean, to me, that's the best time.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
You know, we fell in love with a place in Cambridge called Pammy's. My buddy Pammy and Chris's place. It's right on Mass Ave in Cambridge. And it's, they have one of the coolest communal tables. And the first night we went there, we just sat and just talked to everybody. We've become really good friends with them. I mean, the restaurant's fantastic, but, like, you know, outside of that, not a lot of people are like, oh yeah, sit me at the table with the strange people.
Exactly.
But to me, that's like the best part of it, right? You know, it's just like, pass me the bowl of pasta and just, you know, you're rubbing elbows and just having conversations.
Well, and I think that kind of lends itself to Northwest Arkansas, because I think, you know, in the way that you embodied that support for Chef Raphael during the pandemic, I see a lot of that theme, that recurring theme of people looking to help other people.
Yeah.
Right. And it can be, well, I'm just going to put it politely, Boston can be tough. If you don't, like,
to say the least,
I grew up in the Northeast, so I knew what I was getting into when I moved to Boston, and I quickly acclimated and I made it home. But if you're, for the uninitiated, it's not as forgiving.
No.
Northwest Arkansas is extremely forgiving. As a matter of fact, people are like, hey, we'll leave the light on for you. Just come on in. So,
and that was, you know, that was kind of my initial draw down here too. It's like how friendly everybody was, you know what I mean? I mean, I grew up in the Northeast where it was, you know, you call it the elephant in the room no matter where you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, you have a problem with your brother? Well, fight it. You guys just figure it out. It's like, all right. You know, and then I go to the Pacific Northwest and it's like, it's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
You know, it's the kind of place where you hold the door for somebody and they don't even say thank you. They don't really make eye contact. So it was really hard for me being a, you know, type A Northeast boy.
Yeah.
Then I come down here, like the first person we saw was like, I was looking under the hood of the truck or something, and some guy came right over and was like, hey man, do you need any help? I was like, where the hell am I? Like, what just happened? Like, these people still exist?
Right,
this is amazing.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, but kind of like the whole premise behind this, I mean, anybody that's been here, yes, it's a long wait. Yes, it's super loud. You know, a lot of times people ask to turn down the music and I'll say, yes, we won't do it.
Right.
But you know, to me, it's that big bustling room where, you know, I mean, there's been times when I've turned the music down and yelled across the whole dining room and just like get everybody involved.
Right.
You know what I mean, it's just like, I want people to feel like they're coming into our home.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's why we did the big open kitchen.
Oh,
that's why nothing is hiding. That's why we want, you know, and it unfortunately it puts, you know, people with gluten intolerance or, you know, mainly celiac at kind of a disadvantage. They just can't come in.
Yeah.
You know, there's flour absolutely everywhere. But it's not because we don't want to be accommodating. We'll try.
It's hard.
We can't make any promises.
It's hard. Yeah.
So we try to be able to accommodate as much as we can and really create that familial experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I love that too. And I know I had gone gluten free for a while. It was a wild period of my life.
Yeah.
And then I went back and it wasn't for any, you know, health reasons.
Yeah.
Cause like I know people, like even Chef Matt Cooper is gluten.
He suffered here the first couple months we were open, helping me out.
Yeah.
Before Conifer opened, he helped me out in the front of the house. And that poor kid was just swollen and red at all times.
Yeah, it was rough. It was definitely rough. So, and I tell people that, you know, there are a lot of options now here in Northwest Arkansas for people that have food allergies and food sensitivity.
Yeah.
So,
And we try to accommodate in other ways with that. And, you know, I'd say since we opened, I've probably had 40 plus people have gluten sensitivity. And I've explained to them how we process and treat our dough, which is very different than most places. And I've never had anybody have any issues with it. So we cold ferment our dough, which means like all of that gluten has been already pre-digested by the yeast and by the fermentation process. So it makes it much easier on the digestion system. You know, plus we use organic flours and we try to be right. We try to do it the natural way. And it seems to work out for most everybody, you know. So,
yeah, I would say I don't think you cut corners on any ingredients.
No, unfortunately, we don't. Yeah. No, I wish the bottom line would reflect it, but it is what it is.
So, you know, I even noticed too, for those that are listening, that you even have a vegan pizza option.
We do. So we try to change it up from time to time. We were going to get a little more involved in it. I love vegan food. Yeah. Like my wife cooks. She's one of the best vegan cooks I've ever known.
Sure.
And it's fantastic food, and I really enjoy the challenge of figuring it out, you know what I mean? But we don't get a lot of people in here to order the vegan pizza, so it just doesn't really not a whole lot of effort. So, I mean, we intentionally keep a lot of our vegetables, you know, dairy-free and all of that, so that we can have a little bit more options for everybody. Yeah. You know, our pastas are vegan. We don't put eggs in them except for our filled pastas.
Okay.
You know, our marinara sauce is vegan, like our pizza sauce is vegan. So we really try to be as accommodating as possible.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess almost 4 years in from the time that it kind of percolated in your mind to where we are now, what is your hope for this next season that we are moving into? And where do you want to see Pizzeria Ruby? And is there a part two?
Next question.
I'm sure everybody and their mother is asking, when are you going to move to Bentonville, or when are you going to open up another shop?
So. It's actually been shocking to me. It's in the beginning, I was like, how inappropriate. But now I'm just like, this is kind of the normal. But I got people coming in here on like a Friday night when we're on a 3-hour wait. Like, you guys need investors? I'm like, no, it's not really the time to talk about that. Also, where were you 2 years ago when I had no money? You know, to be vague about it, there is a part two.
Okay.
You know, we're nowhere near those conversations yet, but the initial conversation is happening for something a little bit more. And it's not really ego driven. It's more demand driven for me. I just want to make like, we talk about that Boston always open, that pizzeria neighborhood place, you know, and it's just about being more available. I hate that I have to go out and every time I see somebody like, when are you going to get another place? We don't have to wait so long. It's like, well, stop telling people about it. And, you know, everybody comes in here like, we're going to tell all our friends. Like, well, don't. If you don't want to wait any longer, stop telling people.
Right. That's funny.
So, you know, we're trying to get open for Mondays. We finally got open back up for lunch. You know, now that we got patio season ahead of us, I think we get a little bit more space to play with. You know what I mean? So we're trying.
That's got to be exciting, though.
It is.
So what would you say to, because there are restaurants in this area, there are restaurateurs, there are chefs, you know, that are just getting started. Yeah. I've talked to a lot of people that are doing ghost kitchens that are, you know, just really have an idea or a dream of getting a restaurant off the ground. What would your encouragement and advice be for them?
Don't do it.
Okay, let's say they already have.
They've already jumped in
and they're spending the money.
We have a support group on Tuesdays at 9 p.m., guys. I would say be steadfast. Don't sacrifice. I would say stay true to who you are. Stay true to your beliefs. Stay true to your vision. You know, I think that the one thing COVID did, which to me it was devastating for restaurants, but I think it did great things for restaurants in the sense that, you know, it finally put things in perspective. You know what I mean? It put things in perspective of what's important. And I think for me, it's that, you know, restaurants aren't just competing for the $6 lunch. You know, people really do want quality. People really do want connection with their food. You know what I mean? The dime a dozen food deserts are, you know, they have their place, but I don't think they're long for this world. I think people want authenticity. People want generosity. I think people want to feel good about where their money's going.
Absolutely.
So I'd say just don't try to be like everybody else. You know what I mean? And shop, you know, shop your ideas and talk around, go around the community and befriend some people, find out what's what, really figure out where your niche is and like what the area needs. we don't need another random barbecue restaurant. You know what I mean? Right. We there's some other things. And, you know, if you're passionate about barbecue, do it.
Right.
But be great at it.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah,
just
no,
like,
I
so that's
you.
What I mean by authenticity. Like, just be great at it. And to me, I think passion comes through more in food than anything.
It does.
Like, you can tell when there's love in something. You know what I mean? Like, when your mom cooked or my mom cooked, like, there was love in that shit. There was a little bit of hate, but, you know, there was always love in that shit.
Right.
As my mother would say, you know, I don't always like you, but I'll always love you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
And it's so noticeable when you go to places where it's like they're phoning it in. And they're not really, you know, putting, I mean, I've never felt that. I mean, I've always felt like, first of all, I feel like almost like home when you walk in here.
Because
it's like, because of the open kitchen, because you have an amazing staff.
Yeah.
You treat them really well.
We
you
do.
Take really good care of them. I mean, it's just, you know, it reminds me of what Chef Elliot does at Atlas, you know.
Yeah.
We always buy around for the for the kitchen staff at the end of the night and stuff like that. And so, but when you see that, it's like the product is represented in how you treat your people.
Yeah, 1,000%. Well, I mean, you're trying to get them to buy into something that is your personal vision, right?
Right.
Like, I didn't go to culinary school. I worked my ass off coming up through this, from dishwasher to breakfast cook to buffet cook to, you know, all the way up through, and just finally got to work with some great chefs. And I'm like, you're literally trying to get people who are just trying to get through, you know, trying to pay their bills, trying to live, to buy into your vision. And you can't do that by being an arrogant ass. you have to do it by showing compassion. You have to do it by truly being invested in their growth and their future.
Yeah.
You know, as a cook, I think the worst thing you do is let people get complacent, which is why I change the menu sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why I make people jump on different stations sometimes. It's like, you know, it's not just about, sure, like, we have dishes that sell like crazy, and, like, you know, like, why would you take that off the menu? It's like, well, we know that you had it once a month when you came in, but we made 60 of them a day. And I want my people to, like, get some experience and, like, have a little bit of fun and ownership. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's how you invest in your people. You give them ownership and praise. And, and you let them get the experience and then support them the whole way. And they'll always be great for you.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Plus, you got to pay them really well.
You do.
So,
you definitely do. There's no – and it's one of the few areas where – I never want people shortcutting that. Is anybody handling my food? I want to be paid really well.
Yeah, so you know, it's when you're at this level, it's really, you know, we take it very seriously. You know, you have people's well-being
absolutely
in your hands, right?
Yeah,
and if you're cutting
corners,
then, like, you don't have any place feeding the public.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, I have rigid cleanliness standards, you know. You can tell by looking around my restaurant. Like, I'll be in the fans in the bathroom, like, oh my God, these need to be dusted. You know, I'm the guy out here wiping down the plants to get the dust off.
Because, sure.
You know, I want everybody to feel like, hey, when I'm here, I feel like I'm being taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, I want to anticipate people's needs. And to me, that's what hospitality is.
Absolutely.
You know? It's the anticipation of people's needs. So,
absolutely. You know. Absolutely. Man, you said a mouthful. And I certainly want to encourage anyone that wants to really have some amazing pizza here in Northwest Arkansas, especially for, and this is because I created this podcast because it's the podcast I would have wanted to listen to in 2014, but it didn't exist.
Yeah.
So I had to create it 5 years later.
Yeah.
But part of what I like doing is, you know, really encouraging those that are coming here to say, hey, you like good pizza?
Yeah.
We got you covered.
Yeah.
Pizzeria Ruby's right here, you know, so.
We got
you. Yeah. And it's, I will say this on a side note. It's funny, when we first got here, we got all excited because there was a Dunkin' Donuts on MLK.
Uh-huh.
So I walk into Dunkin' Donuts with my Boston accent. I'm like, give me a medium regular. The girl looked at me like I was crazy. She was like, what? She
was like, give me
a medium regular. And I was like, oh, and I looked at my wife and I was like, oh, we're not in Boston.
We're not
anymore.
In Boston at all. Yeah.
We're not in Boston.
Yeah. The Dunkies language
seems to
only exist in the Northeast.
It really doesn't. Yeah. But it has its own culture. It's
a
subculture. It really does. People don't understand it. And I also tell people that, you know, you haven't had Dunkin' Donuts until you've had it in Boston.
Yeah.
Like
it's better for some
reason. It is.
They got Butter Crunch Donuts, which they don't exist anywhere else.
Exactly.
Those are the best ones,
exactly.
Man.
Yeah. So.
You know, I can't tell you how many times I go through Dunkin' Donuts with my mother. It's always a large extra extra. So mom wanted them light and sweet.
Oh, she likes them light.
Oh, light and sweet.
Oh, my
God. Let me get a large extra extra. It's like,
oh,
six
my gosh.
Of them a day.
It's,
like,
you got your own, it's funny. You have your own language for it. So,
Ma, you can't stop drinking. It's 10 o'clock at night. Stop drinking coffee.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. So, well, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, you and Meredith doing this. And I know I pestered Meredith until to no end. I would take breaks. I would be like, oh, wait, okay, it's been a couple of months. Let me lean in.
And then I pestered Meredith every day. Really.
I got you. And the key was I would see you guys like something that I did, and I'll be like, hey, still waiting to hook up. And we finally got it. So I really appreciate you sitting down with me and certainly because I really appreciate your food. I appreciate what you're doing for this community. And, you know, that you are a New Englander, you know, I appreciate that as well. So, you know, and it's funny because I sometimes give Boston a hard time because I, you know, when you grow up outside of New York City, New York and Boston are like diametrically opposed.
1,000%
People don't understand it. It's like, and it's crazy because I tell people all the time, it's like, well, growing up, I hated the Celtics.
Uh-huh.
I hated Parrish. I hated Bird. I hated McHale. No, I respected Bird because Bird was a baller.
But
and so was McHale and Parrish.
Parrish was the man. I'm still looking for a 00 jersey.
Oh my gosh!
If I could get me a Parrish jersey, the chrome green white, dude,
it would be all good. Yep. So, but no, I mean, it was just something about it. But I didn't appreciate Boston until I got up there and started living there. And you know, it's just something about the area, and it grows on you, just like any place does. Just like Northwest Arkansas will grow on you.
There's so many It's not just the culture. It's the age, right? Yeah. Like there's something special about walking through the North End and seeing a statue of Paul Revere. You know what I mean? A big bronze statue, like seeing the old North Church, like going over to Lexington and like seeing the Battle of the Green, where that all happened. I mean, and like you know,
just walking through the Commons, on a regular, so
amazing. You see the State Building and that beautiful brass and gold dome. Like it's just like.
Yeah.
It's so cool, man. You know,
it is. So, yeah. I always let my boys, I have them, I need to get them some t-shirts that say OFD on them originally from Dorchester. But I will work on that. They are certainly my Boston born and bred. Nice. And they never let me forget that. So,
It's a good place to be from, you know, we'll spread the message. We'll keep doing it.
Yeah. Yep. And I appreciate you exporting some of that cuisine here to Northwest Arkansas.
It's my pleasure.
So, well, we appreciate it. So tell us real quickly, the hours here are.
So right now we are Tuesday through Sunday. Yep. We open at 11 o'clock every one of those days during the week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we are open until 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, Saturday, we're open until 11.
Okay.
So 11 on Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday, we close at 9 p.m.
Okay.
So open at 11 every day, except Monday. It's the only day that we have prep.
Yeah. So now, and you guys are doing half-baked pizzas to go?
So yeah, we always have been able to do it. People request it all the time. We just kind of did it for the Super Bowl thing. Normally, we're pretty dead during the Super Bowl, so I just wanted people to know they could get their pizza, and it was crazy. Like, we sold 100 pizzas in, like, 3 hours.
Can you special order some half-cooked?
Yeah, okay. Anybody can call the restaurant and just request a half-cooked, uncut pizza, and we'll make sure they have directions on how to reheat it at home. I mean, I've had a couple of people pick them up and said it was just as good as, if not better, than when I got it at the restaurant.
Absolutely.
And people don't seem to realize pizza, actually twice-cooked pizza, is better than anything. I mean, it really gets that nice crisp.
It does.
You know, it's something that we really enjoy doing. If it's another way for people to have access to getting the pizza, then great.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, I certainly want to encourage them. And what is the phone number here?
So the phone number is 479-435-9494.
Yeah. And then just a little hint for everybody listening. Now that you have that system set up, if you go on and you Google Pizzeria Ruby, there's an option there that they say do you want your name to be added to the wait list?
Yep.
And I would highly recommend that you do that. And, you know, and of course that resets every day, I'm assuming.
It's actually a pretty fantastic system. It links right into our POS system. You can actually go on there right directly from our website or right directly from Google and just you can see what's on the wait list. It doesn't really give you a time, but it just shows you how many parties are ahead of you.
Sure.
And, you know, we can't control how long people take to eat. We get into some disagreements with people from time to time. It's like, I can't tell them to leave.
But it gives
you an idea of how many people are ahead of you. You know, and I think right now you can wait at home. You get a text, I think, 10 or 15 minutes before your table's ready or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, we've had people waiting 3.5 hours and 95% of our reservations are coming through. They're just,
go.
We'll just put our name on the list and chill at home for a while. And when they text us, we'll head down.
I used it not too long ago and it was the greatest thing ever. So, highly recommend everybody use it.
And we got some things coming up for the summertime that we're trying to make outside a little more accommodating.
Okay.
You know, we put our water stations out there. We're working on putting a bar out on the patio so people can have cocktails while they're waiting.
Sure.
You know, we're trying to make it as as fun as possible.
Yeah. And it's one of the few bars, I might add, that you can get Peroni. One of the few bars. I mean, some really great aperitifs.
Yeah.
Some really great cocktails. And of course, the gelatos out of this world.
And we just got our espresso program dialed in. So we have a fancy new Italian espresso machine. We'll be using Onyx coffee. I worked with their people over there, my buddy Bear. Shout out to Bear. The guy that's tattooed on my neck, yeah.
I saw that. That's Bear. Yeah.
People ask if it's me. No, it's Bear. No, it's Bear from Onyx, yeah.
That's funny.
We catered their holiday party, and they had a tattoo artist on staff, and I may or may not have had too many holiday cocktails. Listen,
and that's an example of me. Andrea and John are amazing.
They're great.
And and their story's incredible. I mean, I've had John on the podcast twice, and he's just, I mean, what they've done, and he actually gave me a whole education on coffee.
Yeah, they're amazing.
They care about coffee and the people that actually pick the coffee.
And that's what I'm talking about. Like, it's that don't waver, right?
Yeah.
Stay passionate about what you do. And they are the epitome of passion when it comes to their product. You know, this is the second restaurant I've opened next to Onyx.
Yeah.
We opened the first press room. Yeah. And they kept me caffeinated. Now they're keeping me caffeinated again.
Exactly. Exactly. Maybe I should have taken you up on that espresso. So.
I know, right?
It's all good.
But no, we'll have that program up and running. We're working on another ice cream machine. So we got all kinds of things in the works. So we're trying
to
new pizza oven to be able to cook faster. So all kinds of stuff going on.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited. Well, Chef Michael Robert Shaw, Pizzeria Ruby, I just want to thank you again for this. And Meredith, thank you so much for making this happen. And I appreciate both of you guys, and everything that you guys represent is why I think Northwest Arkansas is such a special place.
I agree. So I agree. Thanks for having us on, Randy. I appreciate it, man. It's great to see you as always.
Great to see you.
Absolutely.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. To learn more about us, visit us at IamNorthwestArkansas.com. To see the transcript or the show notes for this particular episode with Chef Michael Robert Shaw and Pizzeria Ruby, you can catch it on our website at IamNorthwestArkansas.com. Remember, our show comes out every Monday, rain or shine. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn, and we will see you back here next week for another new episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit IamNorthwestArkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.